Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega, and thanks for joining us. We begin today with a look at President Trump's latest shift in U.S. immigration policy, specifically to those seeking asylum.
Instead, migrants seeking asylum will have to present themselves lawfully at a port of entry.
On Saturday, President Trump's executive order went into effect. That proposal goes directly against the Refugee Act of 1980, which states that a foreign national who presents themselves anywhere on the U.S. border or at a port of entry has the right to claim asylum. So what happens now? For answers, I'm turning to Dara Lind, a senior correspondent at Vox who covers immigration. Dara, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Patrick Terrell joining us, and he's an associate with the Immigration Practice Group with the Clark Hill Law Firm. Patrick, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
So, Dara, let's start with the basics. What exactly has changed when it comes to the asylum policy under the Trump administration?
So, as of Saturday, if you try to enter the U.S. between ports of entry, which is to say you commit the misdemeanor of improper entry, and you are apprehended by a Border Patrol agent, you will not be allowed to claim asylum or to apply for asylum in the U.S. Instead, you're going to be allowed to get a kind of lesser form of protection if you can show that you have a reasonable possibility of being persecuted. It's a higher standard than the standard that existed for people before this executive order or that exists for people who can get through at ports of entry. And even if you do get that, you don't have a path to permanent legal status in the U.S. So what the administration is doing is both making it easier for somebody to kind of fail that first screening and get summarily deported, and make it so that even if they can jump through all of the hoops, they are not going to get the kind of full protections that asylum would offer.
Now, how long does this executive order last, Dara?
In theory, it's 90 days, but like the travel bans of 2017, there's a stipulation in there that the administration can kind of extend or renew this as needed. So we really don't know whether the administration intends this to just kind of be a temporary, a reminder of what they can do, or if they really do intend to just kind of keep this going indefinitely if the courts don't step in and stop it.
Patrick, I want to bring you in here for a couple questions. First of all, is this legal? And what was the law when it came to asylum prior to this recent move by the Trump administration?
Well, I do not think that this is lawful exercise of the president's power. First of all, the Immigration and Nationality Act allows any person physically present in the United States to apply for asylum. But it even goes further than that. It specifically says any person physically present in the United States can apply for asylum regardless of whether they enter at an official port of entry. On top of that, Congress took the trouble of identifying the bars to asylum, and not listed among those is entering between ports of entry. And then apart from that, I know that the ACLU and the Southern Poverty Law Center and other groups that filed suit challenging this also made an argument that this particular executive action violates what's called the Administrative Procedures Act because they didn't seek notice and comment from the public before they changed the rules.
And let's talk about last year. I mean, this isn't the first time we've seen the Trump administration take aim at asylum. Last year, 2017, the administration ended an Obama-era program that allowed children fleeing violence in the Northern Triangle, so El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, from requesting asylum before coming to the United States. Patrick, can you give us a sense of how this might impact, this new rule might impact this population going forward?
Well, it's clearly aimed at that particular population. The opening sentence of the president's proclamation describes immigrants, heading north towards the U.S.-Mexico border. And so it's clearly targeted at especially the population that's fleeing the Northern Triangle countries of Guatemala, El Salvador, and Honduras, where there's enormous push factors sending lots of asylum seekers to places like the United States. And they're fleeing gang violence. They're fleeing gender-based violence. And they're fleeing, widespread criminality where you have homicide rates that exceed that of Iraq during the, height of the Iraq War. So this new announcement is going to make it extraordinarily difficult for a lot of people seeking safety to find that in the United States. And the most important step is really going to be that initial step. It's going to be very difficult for people to overcome that sort of truncated asylum interview that happens usually within a matter of weeks of their arrival. And if they don't pass that, they can be expeditiously removed. And so I think a lot of people are going to be harmed. People will die as a result of this rule.
And Dara, I'm wondering, under the new directive, what about children? We've heard a lot about family separation over the summer. What about children who cross the border? Will they also be affected by the change?
So, yes, the administration was somewhat less than clear about this, to say the least, when they rolled this policy out last week. They actually said at one point that children would not be subject to this if they arrived on their own. Families are not only subject to this, but one of the kind of effects of going from asylum to these other lesser forms of protection is that each member of the family will now have to qualify separately. A parent won't be able to kind of bring her children along in her case. There'll be individual separate cases. So children will individually be put through the system in a way they weren't before, even though they're staying with their parents physically. But children who arrive without parents are going to be subject to this, despite what the administration had kind of initially claimed. They're saying that because there are in statute other protections that you can get if you come to the U.S. as an unaccompanied child, that it doesn't affect the process for them as much, which is true. But generally, asylum is something that you can seek if you come unaccompanied, and that will no longer be available to these children as long as this is in effect.
And are we going to see similar scenes to what we saw over the summer?
We are not looking at family separation as a result of this particular policy. One of the things that makes this policy a little difficult to talk about is that it doesn't solve all of the problems that the administration has said it wants to solve. One of those problems is that it doesn't solve the double bind that they're in on what to do with families once they're apprehended. They still have to, under the terms of the Flores settlement, release families from detention after a certain amount of time. They're still not allowed to separate families after the lawsuit that happened this summer. So if they figure out a way around that, such as the binary choice policy that was under discussion a couple of months ago, where they would force families to choose whether they were going to stay together or be separated, that's a separate policy. That's not something that this policy change would affect.
I'm speaking with Patrick Terrell, an immigration attorney, and Dara Lynn from Vox, and we're talking about the Trump administration's new changes to asylum policy. Dara, on the Department of Homeland Security website, it says, quote, aliens are detained during the credible fear screening process, but may be eligible for parole or release on bond if they establish a credible fear. Then they add, we expect it will allow asylum seekers to more expeditiously have their claims heard and adjudicated. Do you expect that, Dara?
For one thing, the administration's idea is that anyone who is a legitimate asylum seeker is going to pass this higher bar that they're establishing for that screening interview. And so in that world, because there are fewer of those people, they'll then be able to go through the process faster. And meanwhile, the kind of what they imagine as this mass fraud of asylum seekers being told what to say, but not actually having any real experience that gives them an asylum claim will be weeded out. Even kind of standing aside the idea that it's going to be very easy to tell a good asylum seeker from a bad asylum seeker, the other problem here is that we don't really know how they're going to get more resources to Border Patrol and Customs and Border Protection and to the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services officers who have to be doing those interviews. I've heard from several USCIS officers that the screening interviews they're now going to have to do are actually longer and more involved than the ones they were having to do before this proclamation went into effect. So without some kind of plan as to how they're going to get more officers to the border or dialing in via teleconference to do these screening interviews, it's really hard to say that they're making that part of the process more effective as opposed to just kind of making it more likely that, as Patrick said, people who fail that initial screening interview will get quickly deported.
And Patrick, I'm wondering, I mean, the big question is, are there, you know, other options to requesting asylum? And I guess the other question is, will this have any impact on deterring migrants from seeking asylum in the United States?
So to answer your first question, there are lesser forms of protection other than asylum. They're harder to get, and the benefits are less robust. You can't, for example, petition for family members, and you can't become a part of our polity. You can't become a citizen of the United States if you get these lesser forms of protection. The administration has tried a lot of deterrence tactics, including the family separation, quote-unquote, policy, in addition to dramatically restricting who can qualify for asylum. In an opinion that Jeff Sessions, the former attorney general, issued a year ago, it essentially eliminated protections for people who were seeking asylum on the basis of domestic violence. So they've tried a lot of different things to deter asylum seekers. But the reality is the push factors, especially from the Northern Triangle in Central America, are so strong that people continue to flee and to seek safety. And that's a dramatic choice. One doesn't make it lightly. And when they come to the United States, when they leave everything they know, they do it because they have very, very good reasons for doing so.
The other thing that I think is really important to underline here is that this proclamation does not apply to people who go to ports of entry and are formally allowed to present themselves for asylum there. The administration says, great, this is just, we're just funneling you to go through this the right way, to not commit this misdemeanor and to go formally through the port instead. The problem is that there are already lines of people waiting to get asylum at pretty much all of the ports of entry across the U.S.-Mexico border. So while the administration is kind of portraying this as a no cost, no friction, we'll just have people do it this way instead, the real kind of urgent question is what's going to happen at those ports of entry where people are waiting as long as 6 weeks, often without a lot of shelter space in the towns where they're staying, often with danger or concern that they're going to get apprehended by Mexican authorities. Is there going to be a longer wait at those ports because people are worried about trying to cross between ports of entry under this proclamation? And if so, what is the administration going to do to alleviate that? The question here really is whether they're doing everything they can with the resources they have right now, or whether that's kind of a smokescreen for them slow walking people at ports of entry, for agents sometimes telling people, no, you can't come in at all. No, we're not accepting asylum. Don't you know who's president now? There are lots of small anecdotes of things like that that many advocates have taken to mean that the administration is kind of sabotaging the asylum system at ports of entry, in addition to now trying to block it between ports of entry.
Dara Lind is a senior correspondent at Vox covering immigration. Dara, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Patrick Terrell is an associate with the Immigration Practice Group at the Clark Hill Law Firm. Patrick, thank you.
Thank you.